Here's the one, the only, Ali Velshi.
I'm still steaming about my lost baggage incident a couple of weeks ago. I've been telling everyone I can about it. So one of my producers dug this up. Ditch your luggage altogether. Ship it to your destination. Across the United States and the United Kingdom, luggage shipping companies are popping up, and business is booming. Here's how it works. You do it all online. You fill out a simple form ahead of time, and someone comes and picks up your suitcase from your home. It's insured, you can track it, and it gets delivered right to your destination. Not that they're giving it away. Even a small bag is going to cost you upwards of a couple $100 for overnight delivery. But having your bags at the hotel when you get there might be worth it. The airline lost my ski gear on a ski vacation. What if you're going to a wedding? You really want to risk your tux and alligator shoes going missing? And nothing, absolutely nothing, beats the feeling of showing up to the airport with just your ticket, your wallet, and a cup of coffee. While your next trip might be baggage-free, more and more Americans are bringing something else with them while traveling on business. The National Business Travel Association says 62% of business travelers added a leisure activity to at least one of their itineraries every year. I do that all the time. Two-thirds of business travelers take friends or family members with them. I totally get that. My job requires a fair amount of travel and a lot of extra hours at work. The idea of doing it with people you love makes it a lot easier. Now, different companies handle family travel differently. Some are more accommodating than others, and based on some experiences I've had, mine may not be at the top of that list. But as far as I see it, companies ask more and more of their employees. Employees that are getting harder to find and harder to keep. Why not encourage your workers to mix business and pleasure? It'll make them better, and they'll work harder for you. Corporations are pretty quick to blur the lines between office and home when it benefits them. They dole out those Blackberries to keep workers connected 24/7. It's payback time. Want to put your best face forward for potential employers? Well, a new suit, a crisp resume, and a firm handshake might not be enough these days. Welcome to the age of the video resume. Fancy resume paper is so 90s. These days, some young job seekers feel that presenting themselves through video can better show their personality and help them gain an edge over other candidates. Now, video resumes are a little different in the way they're set up. Candidates can talk about their work history, skills, but also about personality traits. It's more like one side of an interview. How do you get one of these? Well, you can use one of the several new video resume services out there. And some critics say video presentations can backfire because they're not as formal as resumes and more time-consuming for recruiters who have to sort through tons of applicants. But I say they're the wave of the future. I mean, my resume is and always has been essentially video. No one would hire me based on what my resume says. The world is simply catching up to what we reporters have been doing for years. Think life's tough? Try being a tomato picker. The pickers, at least in Florida, pick tomatoes, put them into 32-pound buckets, and get paid about 40 cents a bucket, at least until now. After a two-year campaign, a group representing mainly Mexican and Guatemalan immigrant pickers got McDonald's to agree to pay a penny more for a pound of round tomatoes, the ones that go into the sandwiches. That penny a pound means that pickers can now earn about 70 cents a bucket. For the fastest pickers, that'll kick their annual wage up to around the poverty line. And you know what? They get no overtime and no other job benefits. Still, it is progress. In 2005, the same group made a similar agreement with Taco Bell and its parent company, Yum Brands. These deals are interesting because typically how suppliers treat their workers is not something that food chains get all that involved in. They just buy the product and say it's up to the suppliers to figure out what to pay their workers. Burger King, under similar pressure, has refused to negotiate an increase for its tomatoes, saying it's not its problem how much suppliers pay their workers. McDonald's did the right thing. Women earn less than men. You knew that. Nobody likes it, but it's a widely known fact. I take that back. Someone must like it, otherwise it wouldn't still be happening, but that's another discussion. There's this new study that expands on the gender pay gap, and it kind of shocked me. The inequality in pay starts just 1 year after we graduate from college. We're not talking corner office jobs here. We're talking lucky to have a place to hang their jacket in the closet jobs, or go get me some coffee in a Danish jobs. A year after graduating, women only earn 80% of what men do, and it drops to around 70% after 10 years. Now, the folks who conducted this study concluded that most of the difference in pay was due to simple sex discrimination by male bosses. That's almost Mother's Day. I'm thinking my mother deserves a six-figure salary. Every year, you see, the study comes out before Mother's Day, and every year I get flack for reporting on it. The premise is fun, though scientifically unsound, but it always gets attention. Let me tell you about it. The study's by Salary.com. It actually breaks down the work that mothers, stay-at-home mothers in particular, do every day, and it equates that work to different jobs. Works out what those mothers would get paid for the work that they do. Now, on average, mothers work more than 91 hours a week, and the study calculated that 22 of those hours are overtime. Some of the other jobs include van driver, cook, and psychologist. Anyway, all told, the survey says that stay-at-home moms, for all the work they do, would earn the equivalent of $140,000 a year. Now, here's the controversy. In America, we pay for goods and services. For some reason, producing and taking care of kids apparently doesn't count. We don't attach monetary value to that. Maybe we should. Most moms I know work a whole lot harder than I do, and they do a lot more than talk for a living. The most cynical among us have asked whether moms, if they were to get paid, should be paid for good performance. For instance, should they be fired if they leave their kids alone in a car or if their kids flunk out of school? Either way, I'm praying my mom doesn't download this podcast. I don't want to give her any ideas. I'm Ali Velshi, minding your business.